since the beginning of the United States. Kings have sought it. Nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Ladies and gentlemen, I'm Melody Cederstrom, and you're listening to Financial Survival. I am here with my co-host, Alfred Addis, to bring you opinion and commentary on today's economic and political events. Some of the questions we'll be discussing today, it's Friday, April 5th, 2013. TGIF, everyone. It's been, what a week it's been. It's been a roller coaster, and certainly everyone is taking advantage of all the lower prices in gold and silver. What a hectic week it has been. And we want to thank each and every one of you for purchasing your gold and silver here at Discount Gold and Silver Tradings. 1-800-375-4188 for all the best prices, competitive shipping, quality product, and we're going to be talking about quality product a little bit later on in the program. But first, let's get started today with the market report. At least we saw a little bit of upside to gold today. Gold was up $25 today, up $25 at $15.80. We have silver up 39 at $27.39. Platinum was up 15. At $15.39, and we have palladium not moving, $7.31, although that had one heck of a week, so down quite a bit, so it's resting today. Let's take a look at the USDX today, the dollar that trades in a basket of currencies, international currencies, 82.51, down 0.23. You have crude oil down slightly at 92.98. And the stock markets today, they did recover slightly after the news this morning. The disappointing jobs report. And who said all week that there would be a disappointing job report?
Was it me?
No, it wasn't you. They said.
Well, who was it then? Well, who was it then?
I don't get credit for anything. Actually, I've been saying it all week. We knew there'd be a disappointing jobs report. They had to have a disappointing jobs report. They need to keep printing money. You have to have the year, the bonds, the yields lowered, and they certainly did that today. But the Dow down just 41 points. It was down triple digits earlier in the day, closing out at 14,565. Yeah, the NASDAQ down 21 points at 3203. S&P down 6 at 1553. So not a lot, you know, big deal, 41 points. And even if it was triple digits on the Dow, it is at 14,5. So, you know, not a lot of shaking up there. And again, it goes back to the reality. It's just a disconnect from the true reality. The Euro showed strength today, 1.30. 1.30 on the euro. So, and again, it was the only 88,000 jobs, Al, were reported for the month of March. And they were actually looking for 190,000 jobs. So, again, that was the lowest monthly gain since last June. And, of course, again, way, way below the expectations. And so just another sign, the markets did recover, but you did have the U.S. Treasuries, the 10-year, as I had mentioned, that dipped below 1.7. And again, that's the lowest level since December 2012. And so you had gold gained a little bit today, and we'll just have to see what the, as I mentioned yesterday, the markets were looking for 1550. We got 1550, and she popped back up along with silver. Silver's still a great buying opportunity. You have 90% silver premiums, just way too high on that to buy. You're just better off buying 1 ounce silver eagles. We got silver rounds. You can buy Canadian maple leaves, Morgan silver dollars. So there's a lot of product out there to be purchased other than 90% silver. And but what made 90% silver so attractive was they always had a low premium. That low premium is no longer there, so you don't buy it. The premium will come down. Markets do what they do. And I think once we get silver back up, you know, perhaps people will begin selling it again, and it'll flow a little bit more freely. So now, can I rest now, Al?
Yeah, I guess so. We're going to have to get an oxygen tank or something. You either have to rest or you have to learn to speak a little more slowly. It takes a highly trained professional to speak as quickly as I do. You understand? Like one tank of air. I can do half the program on one tank of air, but not many people can do that. You can.
A talent we have. Anyway, what a day it's been. It was good to see gold up, but, you know, it's still off. $20 gold pieces, they're doing all right. They're keeping up with the spot level. Haven't done a comparison on them. Fractional pieces are what's really doing extremely well, because folks, you have to remember, we sell a lot of fractional pieces, and so the product does come hard to come by, and you have to have really big drops in gold for it to really affect the price of a fractional piece, because it's only a quarter of that full piece. So it's a nice little benefit, but it does correct. But they've been holding up very strong, very nicely. So what's on the list today, Al?
Oh, well, I don't know. We've got something from the Daily Bell, an article, More Damage, Euro Tumbles as Reserve Currency. This is 2 days ago. But developing world, euro loses attraction as reserve currency. Countries in the developing world are drastically reducing their euro holdings as economic instability in Europe leads them elsewhere to stock their currency reserves. This is from Der Spiegel, German publication. Euro holdings are at their lowest level in a decade, according to the International Monetary Fund. When the euro was first launched in January 1999, there were hopes in Europe that it might soon rival the dollar as the world's premier reserve currency. And initially, it seemed the dream was not unrealistic as countries around the world began filling their coffers with European common currency. Now, countries are beginning to look elsewhere for their reserve currency needs and have spent the last year and a half shedding euros. All right. This is part of the currency war that goes on around the world. People don't have much confidence in the euros on a global basis. They're not going to replace the dollar. But what is going to replace the dollar? Again, it says countries are beginning to look elsewhere for their reserve currency needs. What are they looking for, Melody? Do you have an idea besides the euro?
Well, I mean, a safe haven will always be gold and it all, you know, bonds. Mm-hmm. You know, that's why you see, you know, bonds getting stronger. And, I mean, we did have a little bit of strength in euro, even, in fact, since that article was published. But I think what we're really having, this is my theory, if you may, there is a currency war going on. You just have Japan.
Yeah.
They're coming out dumping $1 trillion into their economy.
I know.
What do you think China thinks about that? And is it a coincidence that since Japan is out there dumping $1 trillion into, or a trillion of their currency into their economy, that all of a sudden now you have the problem with North Korea. We know North Korea and China are buddies. We know Japan usually doesn't do anything without the backing of the U.S. So is there something, so is that why we're seeing these problems? We know China wants Japan. You know, they always had this thing going. So interesting to see what currencies will create. And is this what the war, we talk about currency wars, but is, can another war be created from the currency wars?
Well, there's already, a new and enhanced currency war that's going on with the BRIC nations, Brazil, mm-hmm. Russia, India, China, mm-hmm. South Africa. Australia is kind of tagging along right now, where they are endeavoring to conduct their trade without use of dollars. And they're making bilateral agreements that I will sell you this much, we'll sell you this many products for that are worth so much in Chinese yuan, and we will accept so much in Russian rubles in return. And they are moving away from the dollar. Now, what's interesting about this, this is a kind of currency, this is absolutely a currency war, because they are challenging the supremacy of the dollar as world reserve currency, and it's certainly shaky. It has been for considerable time, the dollar status, but there's been nothing to replace it. Well, people are rejecting the dollar. They're trying to do business in their own currencies. That's one point. Iran is allegedly, there were reports probably 4 or 5 months ago that Iran was trading with India in terms of gold to pay for the crude oil they were selling to India. The big message here is people are moving away from the dollar. This is not the same thing as China suddenly dumping $1 trillion in reserves they have in dollars. It wouldn't be easy for them to do, and it would shake the whole system so badly, even China would be damaged. But China's not pushing hard to get rid of their $1 trillion in dollar reserves. But what they are doing is saying, we don't want any more. We don't want, $2 trillion. We got $1 trillion, that's enough. We don't want any more. We're going to do business in other currencies whenever we can. They're not dumping, but they're not taking more. Right, that's the implication. They're not willingly taking more. They are at times, I'm sure, but they are trying to get away from taking more. So the only thing that holds the dollar together right now probably is whatever part of its stature remains as world reserve currency. And as that continues to erode, the dollar, in theory, should go deeper and deeper into inflation. It should become less and less valuable. That's what should be happening. And as it does, we should see the price of gold rising. When we see the euro also taking, again, according to this headline, takes a tumble as reserve currency, you could also look at it and say, we are seeing another fiat currency taking a tumble. Dollars taking a tumble as world reserve currency. Right? We are perhaps watching the beginning of the end for fiat currencies. That might be an exaggeration at the moment. You can't say it's the beginning of the end, but it's signs that, the two biggest fiat currencies in the world, which would be the dollar and the euro, in my opinion, they're not being welcomed. I'll be glad to take $100. Somebody wants to send me $100 in the mail, and I'll go out and I'll spend it someplace and rest, that sort of thing. But given my druthers, I'd rather take a gold coin than a $100 bill.
The fact remains that all these currencies, I don't care which one it is, they're all fiat.
Yeah,
the euro had a little bit of a gold backing. It used to be about 14-15%. We estimated it's down a lot lower if there's any more by it. They sold so much gold earlier, Brown did, from the UK, so we're not quite sure what the complete backing of that euro is anymore. And, even perhaps that's why the euro really didn't go defunct, Ben, and because they were able to keep the strength that it has shown, maybe because it does have a little bit of a backing. But the world currencies are all paper. The current world economies are on the same boat. Yep. And when you have the United States, that was the driver behind economies, and that slows, everything else slows, folks. And I don't believe the BRIC nations, yes, you have Russia, but some of these other, they're trying to do something. They're trying to create their own zone, and maybe the world will be broken up into zones. We do have trading. It looks like we were having trading zones and trading areas. And I've said for the past 20 years, they're going to have to come up with a trading unit. Because this is a, you know, they're all fighting these currencies wars, not because it's fiat currencies, not because of economies, but because of trade. The lower their currencies are, the better their trade, the better their economies can become. I think the economies are so bad. I mean, what difference does it make? And when you do have the fluctuations in currencies, it takes a while for it to filter through anyway. But, I mean, they're all fiat. They're all dead. So they're
going
to have to.
Well, that's what we're seeing is we are seeing people in general. We had one, the world had one fiat currency from World War II, the end of World War II, through about 2000. And that was the U.S. dollar. That was the global fiat currency. And everybody was pretty much satisfied with that. And then Saddam Hussein started selling oil for euros, and the dollar began to lose its status as world reserve currency. We are seeing people, they're moving away from world reserve.
It didn't lose the reserve. Saddam didn't start selling it. That's not what made it or begin to lose the world reserve status.
I think it is.
No, that was a sign. What was happening, the dollar, because we don't have a currency backed by gold, because there are. It was the dollar has lost the value. That's why he sold. He didn't.
Well, I get that. I understand that. But what happened is when he did that, there was a psychological point. Up until then, anyone who wanted oil had to have dollars before they could buy crude oil in the international market.
Why didn't he want it? Why did he want to trade in euros?
I don't know. What can I tell you? Maybe he was smoking too much hash. I have no idea what moved him to do it precisely, and I won't be able to ask him.
The value.
I don't intend to ask him unless we learn how to channel. I don't expect to ask him anytime soon. But what I'm getting to is the psychological point. Up until then, everybody did it because everybody did it. The herd followed the agreement where if you wanted crude oil, you had to have dollars, and the dollar was essentially a petrodollar. The dollar was implicitly backed, not expressly, but implicitly backed by crude oil. You had to have dollars to buy crude oil. Saddam said, no, you don't. We invaded and ultimately hung the man. We looked for weapons of mass destruction, but there weren't any, because I believe the ultimate reason for him, mm-hmm. for the invasion, was to punish and try to stem the flow of people that were abandoning the dollar to go into other currencies. The government didn't want that. I think Saddam, in fact, he precipitated the problems that we're facing today.
I had a bit of Bush problem, too.
Well, it's hard to say, hard to know, but point in all of this is we used to have one fiat currency, the U.S. dollar, that was satisfactory for most of the world. That was true from World War II through at least 2000. Now we are seeing fragmentation, and we're beginning to see the BRICS trying to set up their own trading system where they don't have to use dollars. We will see other people that are going to work against the BRICS insofar as the BRICS are working on fiat currency. We're watching the slow dissolution of fiat currencies is something people fundamentally trust. And when you mentioned the euro was originally backed by gold, I think the lesson there is that you can't start a new currency that the world will pay any attention to, and that included the euro. You couldn't start that up, and they knew it, without at least some gold backing. They intended, I'm sure, to get rid of the gold as soon as they could, but they had to have gold backing for the new currency to get it off the ground. If there's going to be any sort of a new currency in this country or in this world, it's going to have to be backed in part by gold. And if there's going to be any commercial announcements, I guess I'm going to have to stop talking and let Frank take over and play the bumper music. And Alfred Adask and Melody Cedarstrom will return in a moment. Please stay tuned.
Job stress, financial obligations, or relationship problems have you feeling stressed out? When life is too much to handle, use Apothecary Herbs' emotional stress formula. Feel calm and more in control with herbs especially combined to provide the organic nutrition your system needs to help you cope. Complete instructions for maximum benefit and a money-back guarantee. You've waited long enough. Call Apothecary Herbs now. Toll-free 866-229-3663. That's 866-229-3663. International callers dial 704-875-8010 or order online at thepowerherbs.com.
Food prices have increased over 40%. Energy prices have increased over 20%. Wheat and gas prices have increased over 70%. What's going to be next? Do you see these trends reversing or even stabilizing? All fiat currencies have always failed and collapsed their economies on their way down. The Roman Empire, China, France, Argentina, Finland, Mexico, Russia, and Zimbabwe all tried fiat currency and all collapsed into chaos. Meanwhile, the dollar has lost over 97% of its gold value since 1971, when an ounce of gold was valued at $35. If your assets are in paper, you are in danger. Protect your assets with gold and silver. Visit Discount Gold and Silver Trading at DGScoins.com. That's DGScoins.com or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 800-375-4188. Protect yourself and your family.
American Voice Radio Network is heard on Galaxy 19 at 97 degrees west, transponder 23, frequency 12115, audio PID 2595. AVR is heard on the left side audio channel, and AVR 2 is heard on the right side audio channel. Remember, both AVR and AVR 2 are on Galaxy 19. Same network, double the choices.
Hi, folks. I'm Alfred Addisk here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188 for all your gold and silver coin needs. What's next, Melody?
Hey, we got Jim calling us today. Is he there?
Candy thief.
Yeah. I hope I'm not hogging too much air time. I love to hear new callers, but you brought up Saddam Hussein, and I talked to somebody from Iran at about that time. The problem was Americans had trade sanctions. Seems a blockade, an embargo.
Yeah.
I think it's evil. And their children were starving. And the only way that Saddam Hussein could get money to feed his people was to sell oil. I can't remember who bought it in euros. My memory is not what it used to be. But that is the reason why he sold it in euros. How dare he sell oil in euros to feed his children? So that's all I had to say. But I had to chip in on that.
All right, Jim. Thank you.
Well, we appreciate it, Jim. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. All right. Well, he's whatever Saddam's reason. And this makes absolute sense to me. The United States imposed an embargo, and Saddam said, "Okay, fine. I'll sell my oil for euros rather than dollars." And he probably sold it at such a discount that it was such a deal. You know, someone in Europe said, "Okay, let's do business." And in my opinion, that was the real motive. The inspiration for our invasion of Iraq. There was in 2003, we came up with some cock and bull story about weapons of mass destruction, but the reason was they were challenging the government. They were challenging the U.S. dollar's supremacy as world reserve currency because they threatened its backing with petroleum. A lot of people don't understand this, but in 1971 when Nixon closed the gold window and stopped redeeming dollars internationally for gold. They were no longer dealing dollar or domestic, redeeming dollars for gold in this country. That stopped in 1933. They stopped silver no later than 1968, but they were still redeeming foreign dollars for gold. Nixon closed that gold window in 1971, but he and Kissinger negotiated deals first with Saudi Arabia and later with OPEC, where they said that we will guarantee Saudi security, and I don't know what they guaranteed OPEC, perhaps something similar. They guaranteed the security, the military security of Saudi Arabia, if Saudi Arabia agreed that it would only sell its crude oil for dollars. Saudis took the deal. We guaranteed to protect Saudi Arabia, and Saudis, because they sold only for dollars, the world shifted in that direction, and especially when OPEC followed. Now, if you wanted to buy crude oil, you had to first have dollars, and the only way you could do it is we could run trade deficits. Right? We could sell things at excessive prices, and the world still needed our dollars. That need, if you wanted crude, you had to have dollars, and that demand created the illusion that our paper fiat dollars had intrinsic value. Worked fine. Saddam threatened that illusion in 2000 when he started to sell oil for euros. And the government was scared to death that might catch on, because if it did, it would reduce the value of the dollar dramatically, which is exactly what has happened. It was trading about 125 on the U.S. dollar index back about 2000. Now it's in the neighborhood of 80, 82. It's lost a third of its value over the course of the last 12 years, and it's probably a reflection of moving away from, we're no longer the only petrol currency. You can buy crude oil with other currencies right now. So I don't know if that makes sense to people, but this was powerful business. And when we talk about currency wars, ultimately the invasion of Iraq, in my opinion, was a manifestation of currency war, not just the little stuff that goes on right now, where we try to jockey which currency is more inflated than another. We've got an article here from Japan, and you've probably seen this. Japan, they have the Japanese officials promised to degrade currency aggressively. They are going to inflate the Japanese yen, and they intend to toss $1 trillion in over the course of the next 2 years, if I understand correctly. Isn't that right, Melody?
That's correct.
All right. That's almost double what we did with our first dose of quantitative easing, and Japan is an island about the size of New Jersey. All right? And they're going to effectively double the amount of currency they have in circulation. They're going to have some very serious inflation. They say they're looking for 2%, but there's a high probability they're going to get much more than that. The problem is that currencies, when they inflate and their currency loses 2% value, relatively speaking, the dollar gains 2%, at least in relation to Japanese yen. The dollar index is a teeter-totter relationship where we've got the dollar on one end of the teeter-totter and we have six currencies on the other end. And if they inflate, relatively speaking, the dollar deflates. When they inflate, they go down in value and the dollar goes up. Huh? If the dollar goes up in value, that's bad for our export business. Our products become less competitive on the international market. And so the government doesn't want the dollar to go up. So what do? Japan takes the yen down. That, relatively speaking, kicks the dollar up. We don't want that. But what are we going to do about it? Inflate our currency even more? There are limits on this. And the currency wars ultimately are an attempt to prove that one nation's currency is worth less than another nation's currency in order to create a competitive advantage for selling on the international market. But who were the currency wars directed against, Melody?
Well, it would be against the dollar.
No, it's against the people of the nation.
Against the people, well, yes.
All right, when Japan inflates the currency, they This is an act of currency war, but who is the war really waged against? It's waged against the people of Japan who are working for, let's say they're making the equivalent of $100 a day. When Japanese government inflates the currency, now they may still get $100, but because of inflation, they're only getting $90 purchasing power. Each country that engages in currency war actually wages that war against their own people. The currency war with Japan, it's not with Japan. It's, oh my gosh, the Japanese, they're inflating their currency. We got to do something. The people that are injured and damaged by the currency war are the people of the nation. When our government reduces the value of the dollar and you're making $50 an hour, guess what? Now you're making, your purchasing power is now reduced to 45 or maybe 40 or whatever. You're the ones, you folks are the ones who take it in the neck every time our government engages in currency war. They may say, oh, the Japanese made us do it. Or the Germans or the Italians or somebody made us do it. The English or someone. They may point to other people, but the real victims are the people who work for a living or have pension funds. You're the ones that are being assaulted by the currency war. It's good for big business. It's good for multinational business, but it's not good for people who actually work for a living or have fixed pensions. So Japanese, they're making war on their own people when they deflate their or inflate their currency. Americans are going to be making war insofar as we inflate our, the dollar becomes worth less, then guess what? You're making less when you go to work. Huh? Yes, Melody, do you have a comment?
I was just checking my time on my
Just checking your time.
Huh? On my watch.
Don't you have something on your computer screen that tells the time? Huh? Shouldn't have to look at your watch.
Okay. That's kind of an inside joke there.
Oh, you're checking your watch. I get what you're saying now.
Anyway, hey folks, if you'd like to give us a call, you can do so at 1-800-596-8191. That's 1-800-596-8191. Let us know where you're listening to the program, and we love to hear your questions and comments of what's going on. Where do you think gold's going to be in the direction that it's headed? Are you falling into the subject line of gold's going to be heading lower or higher? Let us know what your thoughts are. Give us a call. And if you'd like to send us an email, you can do that too at discount. Well, that's my personal email at questions@dgscoins.com. questions@dgscoins.com. See if we can't get some action going here.
All right.
What's that? What else is, Al?
Well, here's one on why. Here's something from the Motley Fool, which is actually pretty good website. And why Social Security cuts are inevitable. For decades, people have predicted that Social Security won't be able to meet the demands of an aging population without cuts in benefits. But now that those pessimistic calls have become the majority view, it has paradoxically become easier for lawmakers and other government officials to consider making those cuts, thereby turning dire predictions into self-fulfilling prophecies. All right, people have warned us all our lives that Social Security is going to have to be cut one of these days. They can't continue to fund the program. Their argument is that we've been conditioned to accept the inevitability of cuts in Social Security, and therefore, given that it's inevitable, we won't complain too much when Congress finally says, guess what? We're cutting your Social Security. They're already cutting it by means of inflation, but they're going to even officially cut it, according to this article, and they offer some reasons and whatever. What do you think the implications are, Melody? What does that mean for people?
Well, they're already being kicked out of a lot of hospitals and treatment centers for cancer, mm-hmm. and so forth with the onset, you know, elderly people as we age, and we're going up into that age real quick.
Not me.
Very, very.
I refuse to go. Kicking and screaming, you understand? You'll never make me age. Never.
Oh, anyway, Anyway, so, yeah, very difficult fixed income, and now they're going to, with the rate of inflation, there's some tough times coming for folks.
And a majority of people, more than that, they're saying a majority of people don't believe they're going to get, a majority of people believe that Social Security is going to be reduced, which means a majority are losing faith in the promises that have been provided by government. Those promises are, in some instances, unfunded liabilities, but they're always, those promises are debts. The government says, oh, you give us your money while you're working for 40 years, and then we'll see that you have money when the day comes and you're old and you're gray and you can't even get a job doing radio programs anymore, and then we'll see that you get Social Security. Well, now they're saying, well, actually, probably we probably won't be able to give it to you. And it's true. It's been a ripoff all along, Social Security, in my opinion. I can remember my dad talking about it when I was a kid. This goes back to about 1959. And I still remember him talking about this. He'd talk about Social Security, and he explained that if you put the same amount of money mm-hmm. into savings, by the time you retired, you'd have $1 million in the bank. Mm-hmm. All right, instead of giving it to Social Security. Now you get, what, $1,000, $1,200 a month. If you're lucky, you know, but you could have had $1 million in the bank to live off of. That was my father's notion all the way back around 58, 59. They knew, they understood, but we went along with the stupidity anyway. And now you get here, you don't have $1 million in the bank. And guess what? Good chance you won't get all you had hoped. Even what was promised, you won't even get that. It's a lesson. It's another example of an idea I've harped on for years. What can't be paid won't be paid. The government is in so much debt, it can't make good on all of its debt. And those debts include the promises of Social Security, for example. And they include the promises of Medicare and Medicaid and Obamacare. They're not going to be able to make good on the promises. That's all. Which tells us each of us becomes responsible for taking care of ourselves. We've got 50% of the people, according to this article, or more than 50%, who don't believe Social Security is going to work as promised. And they're almost certainly correct. The flip side is if you want some protection, it's going to be up to you. If you're going to rely on the government, guess what? You're in trouble, or you're likely to be in trouble in the foreseeable future. Instead, you have to rely on yourself. You're going to have to make whatever preparation you think is appropriate for your future. And, of course, one of the things we'll harp on every time, you know, you understand what my conclusion is going to be. We're going to say that there's room for buying guns and ammunition and land and tools and other tangible products. And certainly there is room for gold and silver. To protect yourself in a world where government admits they can't keep their... They don't expressly admit it yet, but they're going to have to. They can't keep all their promises. They can't pay all their debts. In my opinion, they're going to have to wipe out 80-90% of the debt before this is done. And if they do, those of you who are there saying, wait, what about my Social Security? What about your promise? Too bad for you. We're going to take a break for some commercial announcements. We will be back in just a moment. I'm Alfred Addis with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival.
Countries have denied internet access for their people during civil strife. The FCC seized in-use commercial shortwave frequencies right after the September 11th attacks. No one communication system can be depended on to be there when you need information. You need choices. You need a Ku-band free-to-air satellite system from AVR. The AVR system includes a receiver, an LNB, and a 75-centimeter dish. All you need to get on your own is the coaxial cable. The system is delivered to your door for $1.49 $149.99. That's right, delivered for $149.99. That's the shipping and the system, $149.99. Call 541-225-4659. That's 541-225-4659. Or visit AmericanVoiceRadio.com and click Satellite System.
Since the beginning of the United States, kings have sought it, nations have fought for it. It has been traded, borrowed, purchased, and stolen. There is a reason for it. To secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity, invest with the security of gold and silver. Call Discount Gold and Silver Trading at 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Listen to Financial Survival with your host, Melody Cederstrom, on American Voice Radio Network and Shortwave Radio. Visit DiscountGoldAndSilverTrading.net or call 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. For the very best in gold and silver trading, call toll-free 1-800-375-4188. That's 1-800-375-4188. Call now.
Hello, folks. I'm Alfred Addis here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver, 1-800-375-4188. We've got a caller, Wayne from Texas. Wayne, are you there?
Yeah, hi, Al. How you doing?
Just fine. How are you?
Hello? Oh,
yeah,
pretty
we're
good,
here.
Sir. Pretty good. Yeah, well, good. Hey, I just had tuned in and heard you talking about the possible cuts in Social Security. And one thing that I was real curious about is the same government that says they can't keep promises made for Social Security are somehow able to come up with billions of dollars for illegal aliens. And the reason I bring this up is there was a report by an Indianapolis TV station called WTHR.com, I think about a year ago, and they sent a reporter out to a trailer where some illegals were living. And what's happening is the IRS gives illegals lump sum checks of $10,000 plus and allows them to claim claim dependents on their return they send to the government. It's kind of like an EITC program that
they're able to claim. I saw this article, and I think I know what you're talking about. They were claiming as dependents nieces and cousins that were still living, children that were still living in Mexico.
Exactly.
Right? And they were allowing this.
Yeah.
That's what you're talking about.
Getting, they're getting lump sum checks, $10,000 to $20,000 in some cases, and that's why you see them driving some of these SUVs like $40,000 plus. And then on top of that, to make it even worse, this is right from Fox News. There's a government website called WelcomeToUSA.gov. This is a one-stop shop for legal and illegals to go to. They can sign up for housing vouchers, food stamps. Plus, they get $1,000 a month walking around money from the government. So I find it hard to believe the story that these funds for Social Security aren't there, but yet there's stuff going on behind our backs. And this doesn't include the medical care system, how much they get there, and the cost to incarcerate these people, that sort of thing. So people really need to check this out. But that TV station's call letters are WTHR.com. And if they go there and keyword that plus illegals exploit system, they'll see the actual tape report from that TV station.
Why do you think the government is trying to making it financially profitable for illegals to come here?
Well, Al, I don't know if it's the tie to the North American Union or not, where they wanted to, you know, Bush and the Mexican president a few years ago, they decide all these treaties with very little details came out. And ever since then, you do see where there's the borders seem like much more open, and they're trying to assimilate, I think, definitely Mexico and South America into the northern region. And I think that's part of it, as well as the fact that corporations like the Walmarts and the big ones love having extra people in their areas where they can buy the food and everything like there. So you have a little bit of a government and, corporate, get-together there where they scratch each other's back.
I agree, but I think the fundamental reason is they are trying to make a fait accompli of integration of the United States with Mexico and then later with Canada. They're going to make it happen regardless of whether the people want it or not. They'll just move so many Mexicans up here, we can all learn to speak Spanish. They are working against your government, your congressmen, your senators, your presidents are working against the best interests of the nation, the people of the United States of America, in order to espouse and establish some grand theme of a North American union. And they don't care what the American people want. They don't care what's best for them. They are concerned about what's best for the global economy ultimately, but first off, the regional economy of North America. They want to make one trading ground where people can just go any place they want to go. And all that means is if you are making money, if you are profitable, if you're hardworking, if you're prosperous, guess who's coming to dinner? Every poor person in North America. If you have a community that's prosperous, I guarantee you the poor are going to come funneling up there from Mexico and Central America. They're going to want to go there. It's just natural. It's just the way people are. And if there's nothing to stop them, next thing you know, we've got a government that's going to be handing out $10,000 to illegals, and who's going to pay the 10 grand? It's going to be the people who used to be prosperous. When the illegals come up, they will bring their poverty with them. You will be impoverished by illegals, ladies and gentlemen. You will watch your standard of living fall. And those of you who think that's not true, take a look at Southern California. What's happening to L.A.? They're flooded with illegals. Is the standard of living going up or going down? The illegals will bring poverty with them because they'll work for next to nothing. And when they do, they'll do for $5 an hour what you couldn't do for $10 an hour. In the end, the people that are making 10 bucks an hour are going to have to cut their pay to match what the illegals are willing to work for. If they won't cut their pay to work for Mexican wages, they won't have a job. That will be the implication. It's great for corporations. Do they get cheaper sources of labor? But it's terrible for American people. Oh, and here we have your government working against you, me, Melody, and everyone listening. Do you agree with that, Wayne? Does that seem reasonable to you, or do you have a different slant on it?
Well, no, I totally agree with what you're saying there. And the only question to ask is why. And the only thing I can think of is that, the integration situation with North America Union is there. Plus, this really creates a lot of instability in our population, because if you have people here totally dependent on government that cannot speak the language and have very few skills, if and when the dollar collapses, we have the end of the welfare state, you're going to have a lot of chaos in major cities and various areas around the country that never would have had that problem 20, 30 years ago. And so when you think of the feds kind of arming up and getting their APCs ready for work in these cities, it kind of looks to me like the handwriting's on the wall, and they need this chaos to erupt so they can have more of a reason to put down martial law.
Well, there's another point also. This is a certain amount of divide and conquer. If I'm living in circumstances where ultimately we go into a serious economic problem, and the people down the street are illegal aliens, I guarantee you I'm going to probably have more money than they do, which means they're going to start thinking very seriously about breaking into my home. I'm going to be so busy fighting the illegal aliens down the street. This isn't true for everyone, but in some instances, I'm going to be so busy fighting them, I can't fight the government. I may even welcome the government. Please come in and establish martial law to stop and control the illegal aliens that you brought in the first place. But I don't have time to fight the government because I'm fighting illegal aliens. Now, that's not true across the country, but it is. There's a certain amount of divide and conquer mentality. They are eliminating what was once a fundamentally homogenous nation. And we are becoming balkanized. And in the end, it can break us down into such small groups that we become incapable of making a serious impact on the federal government. Does that make any sense?
Oh, absolutely there. And it sure brings to mind a comment by Henry Kissinger, what, about 20, 30 years ago?
Mm-hmm.
About blue helmets on the streets of L.A. or something, you know? Can we call that one?
Yeah, I understand. I don't worry so much about the blue helmets on the United States. It makes a lot are coming. The U.N. is what he's talking about. The U.N. has never won a war. All right, they don't scare me in the least. They never will. They stand around. They watch war. They will try to separate two opposing factions. But in terms of winning a war, the U.N. is nothing. I am not concerned about foreign troops coming into this country. A lot of people are. That doesn't impress me in the least. For example, some people would say, oh, the Red Chinese are coming over here. I don't think that's likely. The logistics, we have the biggest military force in the world. Half the money spent on military in all the world is spent by the United States. And yet, we got tangled up in Iraq for most of for 8.5 years. Iraq is about the size and population of Texas. If we can't handle Iraq almost instantly, I don't see how China's going to handle us. They're not going to send their troops over here. It'll be a terrible. You'll have people shooting. We might not be willing to shoot American troops, but boy, oh boy, I guarantee you, having lived in Texas for over 30 years, there's plenty of good old boys down there who'd be more than happy to mount the heads of Chinese troops. They'll be plugging them every time they turn around. Plus, the premier of Red China is riding a tiger of his own. He is in constant jeopardy of being overwhelmed by problems within their economy or being attacked by the people that are right around him. They're all struggling to be king over there. It's just the way the system operates. He doesn't dare send Chinese troops over here because if he does, it's liable to cause, if it blows up in his face, he's going to get run out of office and maybe executed. It will give his opponents an opportunity to criticize him and change public sentiment, whether they want to support the existing premier or not. It's not an easy thing to go after the biggest military power in the world and say, we'll send some of our troops over there. What if it doesn't work? What if they send Chinese troops over here and it turns out, oh my gosh, the revolution failed. They didn't take over the country. Now what? Now you've got the United States of America with a whole slew of Poseidon submarines cruising around in the Pacific and just itching to launch. No sensible person, in my opinion, is going to get seriously involved in sending foreign troops over here. What will work better is if they can produce chaos where we start killing each other. Instead of sending foreign troops over here to kill us, why not just create circumstances where we start killing each other? I'm not telling you that's going to happen, but I'm telling you that there's a certain logic behind it, and I'm curious, do you think that, I don't know, what do you think? Do you think we're going to see foreign troops coming, or do you think we're going to see chaos where we begin to knock each other off? What do you think about that, Wayne?
Well, again, I think all bets will be off if the dollar does crash. I think we could see some circumstances we've never anticipated or even planned in our lifetime. So I guess having the basics are very, very important. And I guess and I don't want to stray too off on the possibly foreign troops, but I still think it's a fact that people in our government that took oaths of office are breaking that every day. Plus, they also are breaking federal law by aiding and abetting illegal aliens. And I feel like if there was any way for Americans to, really give it back to them, it would be putting some of these guys on notice, that they are in violation of their oath. And I know you have a lot of legal background, Al. I don't know if there's any effective paperwork or notices or whatever that could even work in that kind of situation.
There are arguments that can be raised, and they might work in court if you have a sympathetic jury. All right, they might not work. It's not an easy thing to do, but what people need to understand is that our Congress, our Senate, our President, they are engaged in treason. There's no proviso for George Bush to sit down and start negotiating to make some sort of a union, a North American union. There's nothing in the Constitution that says, oh, you can sell this nation down the river for the sake of a global economy. We have a Congress, a Senate, and a president, and he's not the first one, that are engaged in treason. People need to review what treason means out of the Constitution, and they need to think seriously about if you happen to get called up on a trial where someone is charging that a particular politician has engaged in treason, people need to begin to think about this and begin to realize that's not crazy talk. That's what's happening. We have people who should be defending this country, and they are working instead to destroy it. And they're right there in Washington, D.C., and the evidence of that is how many of them have made an effort to actually stop the influx of illegal aliens at the border. They just took, I saw where recently they removed several thousand Border Patrol personnel, and all it can mean is, in theory, if more illegals want to come up, they can. If our Congress won't protect this country, what good are they? Who needs them?
I agree 100%. Thanks a lot, bud.
Thank you, Wynn. We've got a caller, Joseph from Georgia, is calling in. We've only got about a minute left, Joseph, so jump in.
Yeah, I got a DVD, The Obama Deception, and Ron Paul's brother was saying about Social Security, that's when the U.S. went bankrupt and the Federal Reserve said, what do you got? So that's what Social Security was about, so they could get their fingers, you know, their hands on the money. And then the dollar bill, you know, now that pyramid's like a Ponzi pyramid. And instead of the all C&I of Horace, maybe they ought to put a wink eye on there and make believe it's worth something.
Well, maybe they should. Maybe we should have a winking eye on the dollar, but we're headed for difficult times, and we're going there because we've made serious mistakes. And the only way out of this is we're going to have to recognize those mistakes, take responsibility for them, and make the changes that are required. And part of those changes means you won't be able to just believe every politician who comes up and smiles at you. Joseph, we're out of time. I'm sorry we didn't get to you until a little earlier in the program, but we're out of time. Thank you for your call. Look forward to hearing from you again. I'm Alfred Adask here with Melody Cederstrom on Financial Survival, brought to you by Discount Gold and Silver. We will be back on Monday. In the meantime, may the good Lord bless you, me, Melody, and Frank, the producer. Bye-bye.
I work all night, I work all day.